Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
I really enjoyed Brother Steve's discourse last week. It kind of put my mind on things I should have stayed on what following him, but I went ahead with the text and kind of almost tried to put the two together. If that was confusing, you forgive me and pray for me. But last week we tried to speak about the apostles, or Paul, and the elders who were with him, his companions. Remember, we find them, of course Luke was there, we find those in Acts 20 and verse 4 who were with him, many of them Greek, church to the Gentiles. But we talked about them coming into Jerusalem, remembering one of the reasons that Paul wanted to come in for the ceremonies of the feast, because there would be Jews there who he sought maybe, perhaps, or peradventure is the word the Scripture usually uses. Peradventure, God would grant grace and some of those would hear the gospel and be converted into the church of Christ, the New Testament church. And Paul also was wanting to go to Jerusalem to deliver the monies that had been collected from the various places he had been, where the disciples of Christ, through the compassion of their heart from the Spirit of God, sought to send relief to the saints at Jerusalem, where there's a great dearth. And we came down last week to verse 17 of Acts 21, and when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. It's a good thing to be among brethren. Somewhere in the Scripture, it says it's good that brethren should dwell in unity. It's good to be around people that of like faith, people that understand that salvation is the Lord. We have no hope of our own. We have no ability, no capability to do anything but stay separate from God and live and die in this body of flesh and be condemned. But we thank God for the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that He came into this world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. And there were reasons for that. But God had a people among the Gentiles. They were chosen from before the foundation of the world, just as were the Jews whom God had manifested, Israel, His right to choose, His sovereign purpose and His will to be worshipped by people whom He chose, that He would take in Christ from the death of sin in which they were in, that Christ would die for their sins, make them holy and without blame before God the Father in love, would plant His Spirit within them, and that they would have a desire to know God, to serve God, to walk with God, and come into the kingdom of God while they live here in this world and serve the Lord, magnifying Christ in their bodies. That is our purpose in this world. Paul said, in the day following, we went in with us to John to James. I told you who we were, those seven men in Luke. And all the elders were present. And when we had saluted them, he, Paul, declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by His ministry. Some 7-8 years before this, we find Paul as he came to the church at Jerusalem, and James was there, and they made counsel and they made decision by guidance of the Holy Spirit to what to teach the Gentiles regarding the law which Christ fulfilled, and they settled on certain things that we'll touch on very briefly in just a moment. But it had been 7 or 8 years, is my point with that, as best as I can figure, since Paul had been to Jerusalem, since Paul had seen James, the Lord's brother, who was pastor of the church there. Paul is going to declare, that's what the ministry is, a declaration, the Son of God. Paul is going to declare, particularly. I like the way that is worded by the Spirit of God, particularly. He's going to show them just exactly what Christ did. Just exactly how God, by His hand, moved into heathen places by God's hand through Paul. God moved into places where the heathen, those who were without God in the world, He went to Berea, He went to Thessalonica, He went to Corinth, He went to Ephesus and other small places. And God had a people among those people. So the Spirit of God sent Paul there. And by the preaching of the gospel, which Paul was enabled by the Spirit of God being called of Christ for this purpose, to be a light of the Gentiles. That's not every Gentile. That's the elect of God among the Gentiles. That God would gather His people after He had given them life by His Spirit, that he would gather them by the gospel call to the obtaining of the glory of Jesus Christ, that God would touch them with the gospel. The Spirit of God had already given them life. God would send them the gospel to this man, the Apostle Paul. They would hear the gospel. Their heart would be moved by the love and compassion of God, that the Son of God would come into the world and die for them to save them from their sins and to bring them into His presence. And they would take up their cross and be baptized and serve the Lord daily, denying themselves. How he'd gone through all these places where God sent him, following the teaching of God and the lead of the Holy Spirit. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. Amen. Because it is of God who worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Thessalonians 2 tells us that He would purify unto Himself a peculiar. Now we're odd, and I'll say that, but the word peculiar there means treasured, special, a peculiar people. Do you know you're special to God? Do you know that God treasures you? Certainly, because God loved for you. The Son of God was made in the likeness of sinful flesh without sin and died for you. You're special to God. You are particular to God. That's why you know God. That's why you have the Spirit of God within you, and you sorrow over your sin and seek to walk right with God and seek to love God and draw closer to Him and seek to worship God because God loves you, because you're particular to God. To purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's the work of God within you. They glorified the Lord. These Gentiles were turned from idolatry, licentious sins, their gods made of female images, licentiousness, just the filth of the flesh. And the Spirit of God would turn them from that through the birth of the Spirit and then through regeneration and then by the call of the gospel. And God would call them into the service of the Lord God, the fellowship of Christ, and the love of the church and brethren. They glorified the Lord and said unto Him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe. Day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. The Lord, very important fact, the Lord added unto the church 3,000 souls in one single day. That does not say that God gave eternal life because they chose Him and they loved Him or they worked their way to Him to 3,000 souls. In fact, what it is saying that 3,000 of the souls that God loved and God chose and God saved were added to the church, the temporal kingdom here in the world, where it was not temporal, it will be carried up, the militant kingdom here in the world, where we fight the battle against the flesh daily. The Lord added unto the church 3,000 souls. Now this is 7 or 8 years later. He said, you see how many thousands of Jews there are which believe. God had founded the church in Jerusalem. James, the brother of the Lord, was a pastor. You can read his epistle to the Jews primarily in Judea in the book of James. My point is the Spirit of God had been moving amongst them and more had been added and the church had prospered to the preaching of the gospel in the way that God intended it because these men went forth preaching the gospel and the Spirit of God blessed it. He said, you see how many thousands of Jews there are which believe. Now you're about to see one of the purposes of the gospel. These thousands of Jews, not just the 3,000, but thousands more which believe, which God hath revealed Himself unto, which God hath quickened and given them life, taken them from the sin of death and the nature of Adam into the life in Christ and the nature of Christ with a measure of the Spirit. You see how many thousands of Jews there are which believe. And they're all zealous of the law. There's the problem with man. These people were brought up. They were Jews. They were taught the law of Moses. They were taught of their father Abraham. They were taught of God their father who chose him. Their fathers in the Jewish religion, many of them had rejected Christ. But they were zealous of the law. They were zealous of justifying themselves by the works of the law and the keeping of the law and the various ceremonies and of the law and the various traditions of their fathers and all the things that were entailed in the law. They were zealous of the law. Paul went to great lengths in the Galatian letter to teach those brethren that salvation is not of the law. They were saying one must be circumcised to be saved. Circumcision saves absolutely nothing. That was a sign that God gave to Abraham that he would do to his children in the flesh. No one could see that sign but the person to whom the sign was placed upon, except maybe his wife. The sign today is the circumcision of the heart and a child of God born of the Spirit following the gospel trying to magnify Christ in his body. It's evidence that you're a child of God. But they were zealous of the law. And they were informed of thee. Somebody told them of you that you teach all the Jews which are among the Gentiles forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. Paul in no place told them to forsake the law of Moses. In fact, what Paul was teaching them, the law of Moses, had been fulfilled. Christ fulfilled the law to a jot and a tittle, the smallest points of the language, a jot and a tittle. He fulfilled it completely. There's a reason Christ was 30 years old when he began to preach. There's a reason he waited for 30 years. Because a priest had to be 30 years of age to enter into the priesthood and perform his duties. Christ was 30 years old. He fulfilled the law to a jot and a tittle. The last thing he said on the cross, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, the law was, I thirst. And then he bowed his head, said, it is finished. All of the law, all of the prophets was finished. Christ fulfilled them. That's what Paul was teaching, that Christ fulfilled the law of Moses. But in doing so, he faced opposition as we do in the world today by many who justify themselves by the working of the law. If you have to choose, it's your work. If you have to work, it's certainly your work. And since we're all sinned and come short of the glory of God, there is no way that we can come to God. There is no way that we can know God. There is no way that we can do anything but wallow in sin and death and rebellion and love it. But the hand of God moves and God quickens. God gives life. Now, they were mad and upset with Paul because they were believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they had been told that he was teaching them not to circumcise their children. Again, the Galatian letter, circumcision availeth nothing. And then Paul goes on to say, if you judge yourself or justify yourself by the law, then you're going to be judged by the law. Now let me clarify that. Because when a child of God stands before Christ at the end of time, on the day of judgment, they will be judged in the finished law of Jesus Christ. And that, brethren, is GRACE! Exclamation point. Because Christ fulfilled the law. He died for their sins. They are dead to the law, Romans 6, and they're alive in Christ. And they'll stand with Christ above in the finished law, the fulfilled law that Christ fulfilled. The fulfilling of the law is love. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, God said in Jeremiah, I believe 31:4. Point being, Paul did not tell them to forsake the law, for love is the fulfilling of the law, and they therefore are to love one another, to love God first and foremost, and to love one another as God hath loved us, and to love their neighbors. And that doesn't mean the man that lives next door to you. The word neighbor refers to one who is probably not worthy of thine own consideration, and to love him, to live as peacefully as you can with all men. Some people you can't love, but you're supposed to live peaceful with them. But Paul taught them to keep the law in loving each other, neither to walk after the customs, all the customs of the law were fulfilled. There was no need to walk in them anymore. People struggle today over trying to do things in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is done away with. He taketh away the first testament, the first covenant, that he, God, may establish the second in Christ. Those things before are before and past and gone. We stand in grace. We're given two things as ordinances of the church in this day and age. One is to preach the gospel. The other is to baptize. Those two go together in the same sentence. making disciples. And the second is to keep the Lord's table and break bread and drink wine in the communion service. And that can only be done by a baptized believer because Christ ordained it that way. Now, what is it there for? They're saying these things about you. The multitude must needs come together. They're gonna know you're here. This news is going to travel fast. They're going to hear that the Apostle Paul is here. This man who was a Pharisee, this man who was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, they're going to hear that you're here. They're going to want to come see this man that God struck down on the road to Damascus, who was persecuting the church of God and now goes forth preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and loving every child of God and loving the church and the kingdom of God, not the law of service, but the church of grace, the church of Christ. They're going to come together. They're going to know that you're here, and they're going to want to hear about the things you're doing. They're going to want to know of a certainty because they're zealous of the law. Are you commanding them to cease from following the law and the customs of Moses? So they say unto Paul, do therefore this that we say to thee. This is not something for him to do to keep the law. Paul would not do this to keep the law. Paul would not do this at all, I don't believe, except for the purpose that herein is mentioned. If you will do what we're going to tell you to do or ask you to do, the Jews will see that you're not destroying the law, but you're teaching that Christ fulfilled the law. He said, we have four men which have a vow on them. If you want to see what this vow is, go back to number 6. It was called the separation of the Nazarite. There would be a man would separate himself, and he had to be an Israelite, could not be a Gentile. A man would separate himself unto God. For the time allotted, there would no razor touch his head. He could not drink any type of alcohol, and he could not come near a dead person. This was the vow that was the vow of the Nazarite. He was separating himself to God. Well, we cannot separate ourselves to God. God separates unto us unto Himself, for He makes us holy and without blame, and that is done by the hand of God. But this was a type of showing how, one, we should strive to walk with God, and two, to separate ourselves from the world and the things of darkness, and two, of the work that God would do with us. Now, take them and purify thyself for them. They would grow through this ritual, I'll call it that, this period of separation for a certain amount of time. At the end of this separation of time and the time that was appointed, they would shave their head, they would offer a sacrifice, and someone could offer this sacrifice with them. That's what they're asking the Apostle Paul to do, is offer the sacrifice with them. Paul was not going into the vow of the Nazarite. Paul was not going to separate himself from these things because Paul knew this was unnecessary, but Paul was going down to sacrifice an offering with these men in order to have those in Judea accept him and teach them of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the fulfilled law of Jesus Christ. Now, they would shave their head. They would offer sacrifice. Their hair had to be burned. It had to be made in a certain place. The court of the Nazarite within the walls. And they would take their hair and burn it in the fire of the offering. And that was the ordinance, the vow of a Nazarite. Now, take them and purify thyself with them and be at charges with them. Brethren, if we had to satisfy the law, can you not understand that we are not able to do it? Look at all the fine lines. I mean, lawyers would have fits of the law. They take the law and twist it around and change it. Can you see the mess we'd be in today if we had to justify ourselves or separate ourselves by the law given to Moses? This can't be done. He said, take them, these four men, and purify thyself with them. Shave your head, offer an offering, and be at charges with them. They that may shave their heads and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing. That you're not telling them to forsake the law. You're telling them Christ fulfilled it. And all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing. but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. Again, love is the fulfilling of the law. As touching the Gentiles, because I told you Gentiles could not even come into that part of the temple. The outer wall was called the court of the Gentiles. It went all the way around to outside. You want to see how we'd get into heaven without, or even the kingdom of God in the world, being Gentiles? It was impossible. We could not come into the temple. We were on the outside, and they had warning signs on the outside wall to the Gentiles. If they came any farther, they'd be killed. We could not come unto God. And then you would come in, you've got the court of the women, you've got the court of the Nazarites, the court of the men of Israel, and you've got the court of the priesthood, and then you've got the Holy of Holies in the very middle, where only the high priest could go once a year. And even the high priest had to enter with caution and do things exactly as the law commanded him to do. They tied a rope to his leg and a bell on his clothes, so if he sinned and did something improper to what the law commanded and the bell stopped ringing, he'd die and they could drag him out, because the man was not even allowed to go into the Holy of Holies to bring him out. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such things, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols. We covered this in that chapter. And from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. I'm not going to take 30 minutes to rehearse that. We've already covered it. Then Paul took the men, the four men, who were vowing the vow of the Nazarite, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple. Remember, Paul is a Jew. He has right to come into the temple. He has right to come past the court of the Gentiles. He is a man, therefore he has right to come past the court of the women. The law is hard, brethren. He can come in too. The court of Israel, the court of the men. Paul the Pharisee can come farther than that because he's a Pharisee. He can come into the court of the Levites. He can come into the court of the Nazarite. As touching the, do you see the wisdom of God? As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded. How could any man figure to do the things that God did and displaying and declaring the law fulfilled? God took the man Paul, the Pharisee, self-righteous, his own eyes, who was persecuting the church of God. God struck him down. God gave him life. God gave him regeneration. God gave him conversion. God sent him forth to preach to the heathen among the Gentiles, who were at that time far from God. But by the wisdom of God, God took this man, one of the greatest among Israel. And God turned him exactly the opposite way in which he was living. Don't you thank God for his grace in our lives? As touching the Gentiles, which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, from blood, from strangling, and from fornication. Then Paul took the men, the four, and the next day purifying himself with them, entered into the temple. Paul is in the temple. To signify, now you watch, because the Jews are going to try to turn this against him in just a moment. To signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until at an offering, the hair being burned in the offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the time allotted, the Jews, non-believing Jews, which are of Asia, probably from Ephesus, where Paul had came, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him. Listen, they have persecuted Paul since God touched him. They have followed him. They have fought against Paul. They have fought against Christ. They have fought, what did Jesus say? You've kicked against the pricks. You fought against me. They have fought against God. They have fought against the Son of God, the Son of Man. And they fight against the Holy Spirit in this day, that day, spoken of. They were going to spare no length to fight the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brethren, that has not changed. Satan himself appears as an angel of light. We must understand these things. and be as wise as serpents, yet as harmless as doves while we live in this world striving to serve the Lord. Every wind of doctrine, as a matter of fact, a wind of doctrine is a lie. The truth is Christ and Him crucified. The providence of God. The purpose of God. Serving God. Loving God. Because He is God. And He's holy and righteous and cannot look upon sin. Yet in spite of that, He saved us from our sin in His own body where He bore our sin upon the tree of Calvary. Well, they were angry and they saw Him in the temple. They saw Him in this holy place. It's about to be a great ceremony. And here is Paul preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They stirred up all the people and they lay hands on Him. They didn't lay hands on Him to ordain Him. They laid hands on Him to kill Him. They hated Him. They sought to kill Him. And they're crying out. Perhaps they're crying out to get a crowd. Perhaps they're crying out to get help. They cry for help. Perhaps they're crying out that they won't be the only ones convicted of treason or of some crime of war. It would be a mass multitude and not one or two or three or four of them would be singled out. Does not say. But human nature entails all. And they're crying out, men of Israel. There's Paul speaking to the Jews here in the temple. Help! Help us kill this man. Help us stop this man. Because of our envy, because of our hatred, because he's denied the temple. He's denied the law of Moses. They're saying it's in their eyes. He's not denying it. He said it's fulfilled in Christ. That's what we preach every Sunday. Fulfilled in Christ. The law is fulfilled in Christ. Crying out, men of Israel, help. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere, all the Gentiles, everywhere he's gone, all the believing Jews, everywhere he's gone, all men, Jew and Gentile, elect of God, teaching all men everywhere against the people. What people? The Jewish nation, the Jewish law service. That's what they're saying. And the law of Moses and this place, the temple of God. Jesus said, destroy this temple, I'll raise again in 3 days, talking about His body. But you full well better know and believe that Paul knew the day was coming when the Romans would surround the city of Jerusalem because they rejected Christ and delivered Him up to be crucified. It says, for this man Barabbas, free him. But it's for this man Christ, crucify him. They didn't just say that. They yelled that. They demanded that. You ever been to a football game and heard the crowd yell? That's the way they were yelling. Crucify him. A mad frenzy. Pilate, the history of Pilate, it is recorded in something that he said that the whole city was in envy. Pilate was in fear because of the dreams his wife had had. All the Jews were in a rabid frenzy. Crucify him. Crucify him. The only man there in that place who was the Son of Man, who was calm, was the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He knew He was coming to fulfill the law His Father had given to do the work God gave Him to do to finish it. He said, this is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law in this place, the temple. And Paul knew that temple was going to be destroyed. And further brought Greeks also into the temple. And hath polluted this holy place. Paul, I do not believe, took great Greeks into that temple. But they were there in that day with him in the city. Now, if you can show me otherwise, I'll repent of that. But I've searched and have not found anything different. For they had seen before. You notice before. With him in the city of Jerusalem, Trophimus, where is he? Acts 20:4, an Ephesian, a Greek, whom they supposed that Paul, they supposed, supposition is a dangerous thing. They supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and all the people ran together. Here are these religious men in the so-called holy city of the world, Jerusalem, the religious capital of the entire world. Here they are, and they are crying out, this man is an enemy. He needs to die. He needs to be killed. We need to take him. We need to perhaps hang him on the road outside the city. and you'll notice they removed him from the temple. But they want maybe they wanted to crucify Paul outside the walls of the city, just as they did the Lord Jesus Christ. They did the same thing to him. Away with him, away with him, crucify him. They hate God, they hate Christ, and they hated Paul. And all the city was moved. There's a great riot. They're making such a tumult that people can hear them in their houses. They're coming outside. Everyone in Jerusalem, Judea, understand where we're at. They hear, they come out, they join the crowd. They may not even know why they're after him, but they know he's Paul. I'm sure that's been told. And they just desire to kill him. And they took Paul and drew him out of the temple. They didn't draw him out of the temple like you'd lead a horse or draw a horse to water. They drug him out of the temple to kill him. And forthwith the doors were shut. They brought him out of the temple. They could not kill in the temple. They brought him out of the temple. They shut the doors to the temple lest he would escape and go back into the temple where they could not kill him by the law. And the doors were shut. Zealous of Christ is wonderful. Being zealous of a law is a very dangerous thing. And forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came to the chief captain of the band. He's the captain of the Roman soldiers. That all Jerusalem was in an uproar. One of the chapters earlier, we made mention of the providence of God and the institution of government, which is to be a terror to evil, and how God used it to save someone. We see the same thing here in the ordinance of God. The second institution that God created. Family was first. Then was government. Then was the church in Christ about 2,000 years ago. The captain of the Roman army heard the noise. I can tell you from being in law enforcement and very sincerely trying to do the things that were my job to do, that instantly this captain began to gather soldiers to squash this trouble. Government is to be a terror to evil. If the sword is taken away, the terror is gone. If our own government would take heed to this and punish the wicked and praise the good and be a terror to evil, we would be in much, much better shape. And I'm not going to touch any more politics than that. They ran together. The captain heard them, saw the uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. He had hundreds of soldiers. A centurion is 100. Centurions, plural. Soldiers, centurions, and ran down unto them. You've got to understand they're in a tower outside the wall. What was the name of that tower originally? I do not remember offhand. Herod named it Antonius after Antony. It was built originally for a place where the priests would store their garments until they needed them. But in this time, the Roman army was housed there. It was like a castle, and they would be housed there in order to keep the peace amongst the Jews. So he immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when he saw the chief captain, when they saw the Jews, the chief captain and soldiers, they left beating Paul. They were afraid because they knew very well the wrath of the Roman army and the wrath of Roman law, that they would be destroyed immediately, or maybe even they themselves would be scourged and crucified outside the walls of the city. Fear, terror, it's all the wicked understands. You cannot appease Satan. You cannot be kind to the wicked in dealing with the law. There's a reason God told Moses, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. A government is to judge by the law of Moses. It is a terror to evil. They left beating of Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains, partly because Paul could not escape, partly because he's got a chain on each arm, and each arm is chained to a Roman soldier. No one is going to try to approach him and take him without they themselves facing the wrath of the Roman army. And then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he'd done. Let me say this while I'm there. It hit my mind and I'm going to say it. Forgive me, but pray for me. And I used to be the world's worst at trying to find a type and shadow in everything we see in the Bible. The law and the prophets were types. The types and shadows are in the law and the prophets. When the Lord told them to, he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. And Peter said, we have two. And the Lord said, it's enough. That's what my wife's been telling me for our lifetime. You got enough of those. But anyway, it's not a type and a shadow of the Spirit of God and something else. These two chains are not a type of being bound by the law and being bound by death, although we are by nature twice dead. He was bound with two chains, plain and simple. Each one chained to a Roman soldier. The chief captain bound him and demanded who he was and what he'd done. He didn't know. He saw the uproar. He heard the uproar. He looks outside and sees them beating Paul, desiring to beat him to death. Do you know that in the Jewish service, if a priest offered an unclean offering or a false offering, that the young priest would beat him to death? The law is hard, brethren. The law is hard. We cannot justify ourselves by the law. He took him, demanded who he was and what he'd done. They were beating him to death. And some cried one thing and some another. You will notice any time you have mass chaos and a mass crowd, nobody can agree on what it's on. But Satan works among the hearts and minds of people, yes, even God's people. And they don't even sometimes know why they're doing what they're doing or for what purpose they're doing it. They just want to do it because everybody else is doing it and their heart is filled with hardness and death. And yes, we can fit in that same situation. Some cried one thing, some another. That's why we ought to pray always among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. Take him. Take him into the castle. This is the place Herod called Antonus, where the priests would once store their garments, because they did not wear them all the time. They were used in ceremonies. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was. If you want to see the beauty of this place, read The Wars of the Jews by Josephus. Start in chapter 20 and just read through it. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was born of the soldiers for the violence of the people. They put him upon their shoulders, he was born. They carried him. These people were so violent, so hateful against God, against Christ, against Paul. They had to lift him up and carry him on their shoulders for the violence of the people. Give you a side note to that. We had a riot at West Jefferson Prison about the fourth night I went to work there. Lights went out, convicts went crazy. They were all... The prison wasn't finished. Couldn't even lock them up. They were living in dormitories made for industry. Just a side point of how things are and why you do what you do. So we have to go in and stop it. Somebody asked me, why do you care? Why do you go in there? Why are you going to save somebody that did what they did? Because it is the right thing to do. Because it is the right thing to do. Because it would be the thing God would have you to do. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was born of the soldiers for the violence of the people. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, away with him, crucify him, kill him. And as Paul was to be led into the castle, this is the tower, he said unto the chief captain, the brilliance of the Spirit of God, and again goes back to the wisdom of God, for God has sent Paul here to preach the gospel. He's going to go to Rome in the Gentiles, in the great city of Rome. He's going to preach the gospel. The brilliance of God and the man he chose and the man he sent. Paul is not just a Jew. He's not just a Pharisee. He's not just a Hebrew. And also of the tribe of Benjamin. Remember that? The warrior tribe? They drew the sword to the left hand. If that's not a picture of the militant church in the world today, I don't know what is. But this man and where he was born makes every bit of difference. And what he was taught and his education makes every bit of difference. I've told you many times, God takes as the basis of men and sends them forth to preach the gospel to show His glory. But let me tell you something. God uses those that are brilliant and those that are educated for His purpose, because it is the purpose of God. And Paul is a prime example. Paul speaks to the man. He doesn't speak in Egyptian, because this guy thinks he's Egyptian. He doesn't speak in the Hebrew. He speaks in the Greek. This man, this captain, is a Roman. He speaks the Greek Hellenist language. He learned that from where he grew up. The brilliance of God. Paul says, "May I speak unto thee?" Captain says, "Who said, canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian, which before these days madest an uproar and leddest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?" This is what's in Acts 20. And Josephus wars of the Jews, 20. It's not what I said earlier, it's this. But the temple is described there. But 20 and wars of the Jews, chapter 20, subsection 6. Josephus records an Egyptian, does not even give his name, who came into Jerusalem. Josephus says he gathered unto himself 30,000 men. He declared himself a prophet. Many of these were zealots of the law. They wanted to destroy the Roman army. They wanted to destroy the bondage of Rome. They wanted to take the city back. Josephus says he gathered himself 30,000 men. He convinced them that he was a prophet from Egypt, that he gathered them up into the Mount of Olives, and that he was going to speak, and the walls of the city would fall, and they would enter in and destroy Rome and their soldiers, and free themselves from the bondage of Rome. But Felix, you'll see him in a little bit too. Felix met them, killed, I think, 400 of them and took 200 captive. The man from Egypt fled. Was not captured nor heard from again. This is who the captain perceives Paul to be. "Art not thou that Egyptian which before these days madest an uproar and leddest out in the wilderness 4,000 men? Okay, Josephus, the historian, said he had 30,000. Why does the scripture say 4,000? Because there was a sect among the zealots. I can't recall the name, but they were commonly called the cloak men because they would wear cloaks and they would carry a dagger or a short sword under their clothing. They were assassins. They would assassinate people at the festivals and services that the zealots would have to be murdered. These 4,000 men, it is commonly believed, were the 4,000 men who were murderers that the Holy Spirit is listing here in Acts 21 and 38. "Are you not the man? Are you not the Egyptian? Are you not the false prophet? And had 4,000 murderers with you?" Is that not you? Paul said, "I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus." And remember, God had founded a church in Tarsus earlier, a city in Cilicia, A citizen of no mean city. The word mean generally means average city. This was not an average city. This is a place of great education, liberal arts, Jewish synagogue, many things people in the world would long after today. Oh, you've got those liberal arts, you've got this education of this and this education of that. Let me tell you right now, I have not one thing against education. And the education of the world is an important thing to us who live there. And we need to study history because we are repeating it. It was a very spectacular place. I'm not one of these heathens from a heathen city. I'm a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no average city, no mean city. And I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. Do you understand? Wow. These people, my goodness. I look at my nature. I look back at Stephen. They're stoning him. I would have been wanting to draw a sword. That's my hard heart. That's my nature. These people had just beat him and sought to kill him. What's Paul want to do? Let me speak to these people. Let me preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to these people. That is a compassion of God and Christ and His people. That is a love. That is what we are sent to do in the face of opposition while we live in this sin-cursed earth. David said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." God gives you a kingdom here in the presence of your enemies. God feeds you through the preaching of the gospel here in this dark world in the presence of your enemies. And your enemies are God's enemies. Or that should be the only ones we have, let me say it that. We make our own. God help us. I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. And I'm going to read another verse or two and sit down. Went over last week. I'll stop a little bit early this week. And when he had given him license, because he's Greek, because he's speaking Greek, but there's fixing to be a change because he's going to go to Hebrew because he's talking to Hebrews. When he had given him license, Paul stood on. Do you see the brilliance of God? I could not have dreamed this up. I could not have written a book this good. I could not have imagined the brilliance that God has in taking this man, a Greek, a Roman, a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin, fulfilling Scripture way back from Genesis 49. Benjamin shall ravage as a wolf. Paul, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, the stock of Abraham. Jew and Gentile together. Is that not the church? The brilliance of God is overwhelming. And when they had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, maybe they wanted to hear him, maybe they were afraid the captain of the Roman soldiers would punish them if they spoke out. Maybe both. Do not know and do not want to get into dangerous suppositions, but I know the nature of man because I fight it daily. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with a hand to the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them the Hebrew tongue. And I'm going to finish this sentence and we'll take over next week. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue. He's gone from Greek, speaking to a Greek, now speaking in Hebrew to the Jews. The brilliance of God. Men, there's the men of Israel, the nation, physical, brethren in the flesh, and fathers of Israel, heads of households, fathers over the ministry, the priesthood who was there, the Jews seeking to kill him. Hear my defense, which I make unto you now.